Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Mama, gibst du mir dein Rezept fürs Hühnerfrikassee? Die Kinder lieben das.
Klar, ist doch ganz einfach. Gehst in den Supermarkt, kaufst Froster Hühnerfrikassee und haust das schön in die Pfanne. Genauso lecker wie von mir. Aber sag's keinem.
Doch, mach ich.
Hä?
Peter von Froster hier. Unser Hühnerfrikassee schmeckt wie von Oma selbst gekocht. Mit natürlichen Zutaten nach dem Froster Reinheitsgebot. Gibt's im Supermarkt.
Sag ich doch.
Froster ist für alle da.
Did former President Barack Obama and his inner circle orchestrate a sinister plot to sabotage Trump's 2016 victory? Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has dropped a bombshell declassified report naming James Clapper, John Brennan, and James Comey in what she calls a treasonous conspiracy to manipulate intelligence and undermine democracy. John Gordon, the host of The Truth with John Gordon, dives deep into the explosive evidence exposing the alleged betrayal at the highest levels. Will Obama and his allies face justice? Tune in to uncover the shocking truth that could rewrite history. The Richard Serrett Show, off and running for Wednesday, July 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2025. Facta, non verba.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
We must not allow ourselves to be intimidated. Our task is not only to win the battle, but to win the war.
I'm feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something. You'll see the whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting.
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
Seeking truth and justice in a battleground of deception and corruption, this is The Richard Serrett Show.
This is an issue that is important to every single one of us as Americans. This is not a partisan issue. It has to do with the integrity and the strength of our democratic republic. And it lays out this over 100 documents that you're referencing that I released, declassified and released, spells out in great detail exactly what happens when you have some of the most powerful people in our country directly leading at the helm, President Obama and his senior most national security cabinet, James Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper, and Susan Rice and others, essentially making a very intentional decision to create this manufactured, politicized piece of intelligence with the objective of subverting the will of the American people, who in November of 2016 delivered a historic victory to President Trump, defeating Hillary Clinton. And President Obama and his team, their goal was to essentially not accept the decision of the American people and to use this manufactured, politicized intelligence as a means to enact what would become essentially a years-long coup against President Trump.
Tulsi Gabbard, U.S. President Donald Trump's Director of National Intelligence, has ignited a firestorm, accusing former President Barack Obama and members of his administration of treason in a plot to undermine the 2016 election. Her declassified report names James Clapper, John Brennan, James Comey, and others, alleging they manipulated intelligence to smear Donald Trump. Gabbard demands justice, vowing to deliver accountability for the American people. John Gordon is host of The Truth with John Gordon, and he's here to unpack Tulsi Gabbard's explosive claims, the evidence, what's next in this historic showdown. Will Obama and his allies face prosecution? Tune in for answers. John Gordon is a Mercer University Law School graduate, renowned for his incisive commentary. He's a seasoned entrepreneur and business owner. He honed his investigative skills as a journalist in Macon, Georgia and Atlanta. In 2022, he ran as a Republican for Georgia's Attorney General, earning a coveted endorsement from President Donald Trump. Known for his unwavering commitment to uncovering truth on the truth with John Gordon, John brings a sharp legal mind and a bold Trump-aligned perspective to his syndicated radio platform, captivating audiences with his fearless take on politics and justice. John, welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Richard. I'm great.
What specific evidence in Tulsi Gabbard's report supports this claim of a treasonous conspiracy by Obama-era officials?
Well, I mean, I think that this is nothing new. We have known this since Kash Patel, when he was working for the congressional office, figured out that the Russia thing was a figment of one's imagination, that Hillary Clinton campaign paid for it, that the Perkins Coie law firm recruited Steele, a British journalist, to write this report that was just fiction. And Kash Patel figured it out 6 years ago, and when he was working for Devin Nunes, and made it very public, which is really what launched his career as a public servant. So there's nothing new. It's just that for some reason, when an official in the government says it, then it becomes an official investigation, and coupled with a criminal referral. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Now we'll see what that, courageous Pam Bondi is going to do with it.
Well, now we have the receipts, I guess. That's the big difference as well.
Yeah, we kind of have the receipts. That's right.
So how does this declassified email that shows Obama's order for the Russia assessment prove his role in the alleged plot?
Well, I think you raise an interesting point. And just candidly, since I do care about the truth, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it does. As I understand it, the intelligence community invented this. They went to the White House, to the Oval Office, and met with Obama. They told him that they had evidence of Russian interference in the 2016 election. This was right at the end of Obama's
term. December 2016.
In December.
Right.
And Obama said, well, we need to investigate that. Go develop the information and bring it back to me. So they did just that. But what they found was no Russian interference, nothing. They had no evidence of anything. But so they lied. And there was an intelligence report that was included in the president's daily intelligence briefing, and it was removed from the briefing. So I think, and I'm no Obama fan, I'll just tell you, I think he's a fraud. I think he did more harm to this country than any president in my lifetime until Joe Biden. And so I don't defend him at all, but the facts are the facts. And I don't, they deprived him of seeing the actual intelligence report that found that there was no collusion, that there was no interference. And continued to maintain that there was. So they just lied. They lied to Obama like they lied to us.
So it sounds like you're suggesting Barack Obama may have been a victim of the same deep state as is Donald Trump.
You know, I'm not sure. I am suggesting that clearly, but was it a wink and a nod? Like, okay, go see what you can do. Or was it complete? Was he being played just like they played Robert Mueller? I mean, we had a 3-year Mueller investigation. You know, they found the only senile person in Washington with a CV that was very stellar. He couldn't find his way to the men's room. So they got 40 Harvard and Yale lawyers to come in and do the investigation. They looked as hard and as fast as they could. They could not find anything So $40 million later, we get the Mueller report that that exonerated Trump. It's enough to make your blood boil. I think people need to pay. I definitely think people need to pay. Clapper, Brennan, and Comey, and that little snake, I can't remember his name, Wasserman or Weinstein or something, that kind of led the Mueller investigation. He's a dirty little rat. I'd love to see him in an orange jumpsuit.
So just getting back to Obama for a moment, something you said there was very interesting, a wink and a nod. So in other words, he may still be the ringleader or the gang leader, as Trump fumed in that White House press conference, but there's nothing in the email that, there's no smoking gun to prove that, in other words, in that email.
I don't know. There's no smoking gun that we have seen, that I have seen. There's one thing about Trump that I've observed for the last better part of 10 years. He makes these outlandish claims, and you say, oh, he's just blustering. He's a salesman. He's a marketer. He's just puffing. And then two or three years later, damned if it isn't true. And so I don't know what he knows that we don't know. And I've not read cover-to-cover coverage on this, so maybe Obama's more complicit than I'm aware of. I don't know if you have any insight that I lack. But based on what I've read, as a lawyer, I couldn't say that Obama should be charged. Clapper, Comey, and Brennan, absolutely. They are the ones that colluded to do this. And you know, it's more than just creating false allegations about another human being that was torturous to them and their life and their families. But they really stole from the American people. They deprived us of the first 3 years of the Trump administration and an agenda. And he accomplished so much, but imagine what he could have accomplished if he wasn't distracted and having to, and it's not just Trump, it's all the people working for him that are distracted and preoccupied with defending against these false charges.
People went to prison. Steve Bannon.
They did. Paul Manafort, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone. I mean, it was material, and it's horrific, and these people need to pay.
The other thing that happened was, as a result of the smear campaign, the false allegations, the media machine got on board. It made it almost impossible for Donald Trump to conduct any sort of foreign policy with Russia, because Russia suddenly became radioactive, and any perceived, relationship between Trump and Putin. And I mean, that's a pretty reckless situation that they placed the United States in. And we saw, the fruits of that, or the bitter fruit of that, was, I suppose one could connect the dots all the way up to the invasion of Ukraine.
Well, I have heard a lot of commentators do just that in the last 24 hours, but I'm more focused on weaving and exposing what actually did happen in that moment. And you were talking about Manafort and Stone and people that actually had to go to prison, Steve Bannon. But what about Michael Flynn? I mean, he was the nominated national security advisor, and in between the election and the inauguration, he dared have a conversation with the Russian consulate. And that was somehow made out to be something that was horrible. Well, I thought that was his job. As a semi-pseudo diplomat, aren't they there to establish relationships with their counterparts and people from other countries that are in our country at our consulates and embassies in an official capacity? So we build relationships, so we can have dialogue, so that when all hell breaks loose, we don't devolve into a nuclear war, but you can call them up on the phone and say, hey, meet me at the park bench at 6 o'clock. Let's see if we can't work something out. And they end up pulling the rug out from underneath this guy and trick him into making a false statement, telling him that they were just there for a conversation. And they were really there to ensnare him, to entrap him. And that's exactly what they did. And then our favorite little wimpy vice president comes along and recommends that Trump fire him. I mean, the whole thing just reeked. I don't care for Mike Pence. He can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. People that masquerade and tote the Bible around with them tell you what a wonderful person they are because they're so religious and so devoted to God. And then they just stab you in the back every chance they get for their own political devices. They ain't my kind of people.
So Tulsi Gabbard has made a criminal referral to the DOJ. I don't know who she's named specifically, whether she mentioned former President Barack Obama and Comey and Brennan and Clapper. And I've heard the name Susan Rice also mentioned.
Yeah, I have too.
Before we started, we were kind of wrangling over what the charges might be and whether conspiracy is the right word, if it's applicable, whether it's sedition. What do you think? Well, let's start with Obama. Let's imagine that she's got documents. There is a smoking gun. What would the charge be here? Is conspiracy or not conspiracy? Is treason the right legal? Is that the right charge?
The fact is, I just don't know. As you and I were talking before we started the interview, I'd always thought treason was when you committed an act that favored a foreign nation over our own country. But we went to the penultimate source and looked it up on Siri, and Siri says that it also constitutes an overthrow of the government. And I think a case could seriously be made that these people tried to overthrow our government by unseating or doing in a duly elected president of the United States under very false circumstances. It's beginning to sound like treason to me. The more I pull back the layers and consider it, but it's certainly illegal. It is certainly, I mean, they've made false swearings, which is perjury. They have doubled down on them repeatedly. It'll be interesting to see how these, oh gosh, I've had a rough day. I don't want to get too carried away. I'll try and tone it down a notch, but these bad actors,
well,
I was going to say sleazeballs, but I just call them bad actors, how they will walk this back. How will they dig deep? How will that pious James Comey somehow explain to us how he was acting in good faith all along? Good luck, dude. He's the same guy who says that he just stumbled upon seashells that said 8647, like the person on earth he hates the most. And we're to believe that he didn't put the seashells there. But I got a YouTuber I watch who had a photograph of Comey sitting on the beach, reading his book with his feet propped up. He was able to capture a picture of Comey's tennis shoe. And so now I want you to study the tennis shoe really closely. And then he went and put it next to an impression of a tennis shoe in the sand. Same size, same pattern. And now Comey's telling us that he didn't put the shells in the sand. I mean, I think that should be a threat to the president of the United States. That is a indictable offense.
I think the speaker has suggested he's going to subpoena former President Barack Obama. I need, I guess, a bit of a civics lesson. As the former president, does he have any sort of immunity? Can he claim executive privilege? Any of these documents that were released or declassified? Can he again claim executive privilege because these were, you know, sort of meetings with members of his National Security Council and so forth? I mean, can they get to the truth by subpoenaing Obama, Comey at all?
So the Supreme Court just recently, when they were trying to indict Trump, made it a very clear distinction that there are official duties and their personal duties. Was the president acting in his official duty or was he trying to gain some sort of a personal advantage? I don't see if he knew, and it really depends on his state of mind, which is a really hard thing to determine and prove, until some little whistleblower comes forth and said, oh, I was in the room. This is what they said. He knew that that Steele dossier was a fake when he encouraged the intelligence community to go after Trump as a bad actor. So then I think it transcends into a personal mission to retain and either gain or retain power. I don't think that he's going to get immunity if you can prove that he was acting on that side of the ledger versus in an official capacity. I see no government function or work in good faith where you would investigate someone and propagate a lie based on a fake document that you knew was untrue. I don't know how you would cloak that with any kind of officialdom. I think it's almost greed, political greed and power on its face. I hope the courts will view it that way if it ever comes to that. But I frankly, politics is the art of the practical. I don't see Obama getting indicted. He was the first black president of the United States. I think that is going to make it very difficult for the administration to go after him, because there are people that have blinders on where Barack Obama is concerned. They are blindly loyal to him. And I think it would very much have the risk of sending our country into a state of rioting and civil disobedience. Will they push it that far? I really don't think so. However, that does not get Susan Rice off the hook. That doesn't get Clapper, Brennan, or Comey off the hook. I think Comey is the least sympathetic figure of all. I think there are people all across America, liberal, conservative, anybody with a conscience and a sense of what's right and wrong, that really dislike Comey. And I don't have hate. I really don't. I try not to carry any hate in my heart. But I do carry a passionate love of our country. I do care and have a passionate defender of our Constitution, because I've got children and I've got grandchildren. And this country has been so good to me. I want to do my part as one lone person, joining hands with a whole bunch of other people similarly situated that want to defend our Constitution and our rule of law. And that's the opportunity that we have here. And a lot of that has been eroded over the last 4 years. And I'm willing to do anything lawful and within reason to get it back. That's the opportunity I think this poses for us.
What about Hillary Clinton? She was the defeated candidate in the 2016 election. What role did she play? I mean, we know that her campaign funded the phony dossier. Can she also be indicted?
Well, we'd have to develop the facts around it. What did she know? When did she know it? Nobody disputes the fact that the Hillary Clinton campaign funded the Steele dossier. Period, paragraph, hard stop. How much knowledge did she have? What role did she play? Did she commit crimes in the process? I suspect she did. Can we prove it? I don't know.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes von
Persil. Du willst beides? Aktives Fondsmanagement und die Vorteile eines ETFs? Xtrackers aktive ETFs liefern genau das. Die Verbindung von smartem Portfolio-Management mit effizienter ETF-Struktur. Kosteneffizient und mit dem Potenzial für Überrenditen. Aktive Strategie trifft auf ETF-Effizienz. Informiere dich jetzt auf xtrackers.de. Zusammenwachsen. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Werbemitteilung herausgegeben von der DWS International GmbH mit Sitz in Frankfurt.
If you look at that, those papers, they have them stone cold, and it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. It was them too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they... Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries.
During Donald Trump's White House, President Trump's White House press conference, he was receiving the president of the Philippines at the time, and someone asked a question, and off he went, saying that Tulsi Gabbard has told him she has thousands of pages of declassified or unclassified documents from the Obama administration, hinting that this isn't just about the Russia hoax. This could be about a lot of different things, including perhaps the alleged subversion of the 2020 election. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that is that's why I'm sitting here right now. I worked on a case in Georgia, Jeffords and Satir versus, and later added David Perdue, the now ambassador to China, who was a United States Senator from Georgia. And I worked with a group of lawyers on a lawsuit against the Fulton Board of Elections, which gave, and I did not serve in the capacity as a lawyer on that team. I was the fundraiser because it cost a lot of money to litigate, especially when you're going up against the government, and communications. I went around the state presenting the evidence that the lawyers developed. And there is no doubt in my mind, zero, that the 2020 election in Georgia was stolen. We can pretty much demonstrate quantitatively that 20,000 votes were stolen just in Fulton County alone. I have interviewed, played devil's advocate with, met in person, pushed back on Joe Rossi and David Cross, both of whom are numbers guys. Joe Rossi was an executive at PepsiCo. He got a hold of this, got it kind of in his craw. So he started hammering on the numbers and doing forensic accounting on the votes. And so did David Cross. They didn't know each other. They were doing it independently and miraculously ended up at the same conclusion that there were as many as 400,000 illegal votes tallied in Georgia in 2020. And I just read an article today in the Atlanta Journal of Constitution, and it just makes me so angry. I don't know what to do. That Bill White, in a Senate confirmation hearing, he's been nominated as an ambassador to Belgium. They asked him about his role, saying that the 2020 election was stolen and that Ruby Freeman was going to have to apologize to Rudy Giuliani and all this stuff. And so the guy from Virginia, who ran as Hillary Clinton's running mate, Tim Walsh, is that his name? Is that right? Or am I confusing that with Harris's running mate?
Yeah, I think that was Harris's running mate, Waltz. I remember the...
Well, I'm close. Producer Anthony, Google that for me, will you? Huh? Yeah, Tim Kaine?
That's it.
Yeah, maybe that was... Yes, Tim Kaine. That was them. Yeah, and he was one who asked the question. And then the Atlanta Journal-Constitution said that Bill White had to defend his statements where he was defending Donald Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election by presenting false information. And it's just a lie because I've seen the evidence and I've talked to the witnesses, three witnesses who saw Scott Hall, Susie Voiles, and Bridget Thorne each independently testified and swore under oath that they saw a pallet full of pristine absentee ballots in the State Farm Arena tabulating center waiting to be counted, that were all scored identically, had not been touched by a human hand, and appeared to have been marked by a printer. Now, people have been convicted of murder on less circumstantial evidence than that. And we could do a whole program on the 2020 election in Georgia. I have not seen the evidence in Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, the swing states that were, I mean, Wisconsin was 11,000 votes. Arizona was 12,000 votes. Georgia was 11,780 votes. So I worked on this case for 2.5 years. I know what the evidence is in Georgia. And the media continues to write this malarkey. Just utter, they call it the lie, the big lie. I call them the bigger lie, the biggest lie. And to this day, they maintain the narrative, just like they maintain the narrative that Oswald acted alone in killing the 35th president of the United States. And it bothered me. And I looked at, and we had a judge, Brian Amaro, in the Henry County Superior Court in Georgia, just south of Atlanta. The Fulton County judges recused themselves, as they should have. The case was assigned to Brian Amaro. He looked at the evidence. He said, "You've made a prima facie case. I'm unsealing the absentee ballots. You can inspect them." And wow, just a matter of months later, he completely reversed himself, decided that the plaintiffs lacked standing. Well, that went all the way up to the Supreme Court of Georgia, and they voted unanimously that Judge Amaro's decision was wrong, reversed the decision, sent the case back to Amaro for adjudication. And what did that courageous judge do? Recused himself. So now the case went to a Fulton County judge who does not recuse himself. He took the case, and what's he doing? Sitting on it. Absolutely nothing. And he was the guy that wrote the most, court decision that had more venom in it than any decision I've ever read in a court decision. It was so obvious that he was writing from the standpoint of his own personal bias. And that's where the cases ended back up at. So concluded that you couldn't get justice from the judiciary. Our constitutional officers, Kemp, Carr, and Raffensperger, utterly failed us. And the media wouldn't tell the truth. So I was left. I'm going to run for Attorney General of Georgia and blow the lid off this thing and open it up. And I gave it everything I had, put $1 million of my savings into it, 3 months of my life. I woke up every morning at 4:30. I went to bed when I couldn't go anymore. And we did good. We did good, but we didn't win. And it's probably good for my grandchildren's sake that we didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. What do you make of this claim that Tulsi Gabbard has thousands more pages, declassified pages on the Obama era? Do you think any of those might relate, even though he obviously wasn't in the White House, but he was still living in Washington, seemed to be in charge of the DNC. Sure. Do you think any of those documents will relate or connect Obama to the 2020 rigging of the election?
Look, I know President Trump. I have sat in his office one-on-one with him on two occasions for hours. And I know that he, like I, feel that his election was stolen, that it was rigged. I say stolen, he says rigged. I think rigged is much too light of a description. But I think he's playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. I think he's four moves down the chessboard from them. And if you just sit and you listen to everything the man has said over the last 10 years, he said publicly that if he had known how bad Washington really was, that he would have never entered politics. And that was before they drug him through four criminal cases and a civil case and made his life miserable for 3 years.
Final question.
I think he's not doing it out of spite or meanness or revenge. I think he's doing it out of saving our country. And I think he is absolutely right. I cheer him on. I think what Tulsi Gabbard is saying, without saying it, we're coming for you. And I hope they do. Not because I'm a mean or vengeful person or have any hate in my heart. I don't. I care about our country. You cannot do this to the greatest country on earth, a democracy and a republic that has survived 250 years and expect that it will survive if you let this stuff go unchecked.
That was my last question. Let's say Barack Obama avoids prosecution, Clapper, Brennan, and Comey and Rice somehow avoid prosecution or escape conviction. What does that mean for the republic on the eve of its 250th birthday?
It can't be good. It can't be good. That's the problem. That you have hit the bullseye. That is the crux of this whole thing. And it started on November 22nd, 1963 in Dallas, Texas, with the assassination of the 35th president of the United States that was orchestrated by Lyndon Baines Johnson and Alan Dulles and assisted and enabled by J. Edgar Hoover and a whole bunch of other people. And it transmitted, I call it trickle-down values and ethics. It translated to every bureaucrat in Washington, the states, the city, the county, the school board, the dog catcher, that if you work in government, you get a free pass. You can do virtually anything you want to do, even committing murder if you occupy the highest office in the land. So you or I go into the, pick the department, the water board, and our water pipe busted, and we've got a $3,000 water bill, and we're trying to get some relief. And they don't like us because we're Republicans or conservatives or whatever the reason is. And they say, nah, you're not helping. Pay the bill. And that's what is transmitted. It is all to me about leadership. And I've called for and continue to call for a cleansing in America. I think this federal government is rotten to its very core. I think most of it leads straight back to the intelligence community, which operates without oversight and on an unlimited budget. And that is a dangerous combination. And I think if you go back and look at the atrocities that have happened in this country over the last 60 years, that we see a lot of the same behavior being repeated over and over again. Start with Kennedy, go to the World Trade Center. I have been very reluctant to even go down that rabbit hole because I've got enough obsessions as it is. But it's being pushed on me every time I turn on YouTube or watch YouTubers who I like. It's starting to come cascading. It's a tsunami of information. You look at Building 7, you tell me how it fell. I don't think there's any explanation. No architect, no engineer has looked at it, has said this because of debris that fell from the towers. It was a controlled demolition that happened at 6 p.m. that night. Riddle me that. I want the answers to it. I want the answers to Butler. It was like JFK 2.0 to me. The script was the same. Oh, the Secret Service detail was constrained because Dr. Jill, who ain't no doctor, was in Pittsburgh just 60 miles away, and a lot of the resources went to protect her. Oh, the circle of protection was carved out, a specific slice carved out of a perfect cylindrical protection area was carved out for the AGR building. What? Mm-hmm. And then Crooks had somebody that checked into the firing range with him. Every time he went, somebody went with him. Their names are redacted from the log. And then there are breadcrumbs from, I'll stop talking, just one little factoid, more factoid. There are breadcrumbs from Gallery Place in Washington to Crooks' house where three trips were made or more by somebody from Gallery Place. Gallery Place happens to be a place where the federal government has a lot of offices, like the ATF and the Secret Service and the Drug Enforcement Agency. Right there, Gallery Place. Now, I wonder who that was that made a trip from Washington to Thomas Michael Crookes' house in Butler, Pennsylvania. What?
Yeah. We know everything about the adulterous couple caught on that Kiss cam at a Coldplay concert. We know nothing about Thomas Michael Crookes. Nothing. It's remarkable. Well, look up
Maxwell Yurick. He's the key to Butler. And there are a lot of people that have been talking about it and chatting about it. We need to delve deep into him. His parents filed a missing persons report against him the day after Butler, and he hadn't been seen or heard from since. I got 30 minutes I could talk to you on that, so I won't. But
all right, well, we'll pick up on that.
It's bad stuff, and it needs to stop. These people are destroying our country. They may rationalize it and think they've got good intentions, but I've got news for them. They don't. They are working for themselves or for their own greed or their own lust for power or satisfying some bad gene that they've got by doing this stuff. It's not the country that the American people want. And I think that's the reaction you're seeing to Epstein. I don't think it's about the client list. I think it's because we suspect that Epstein was working for the CIA and that was a honeypot that they created to suck these powerful people in so they could record them in compromising positions and then they own them. And the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida, 60 miles from where I'm sitting, when he was in a Senate confirmation hearing, they asked him why he went light on Epstein. And he said, because he was told to, Epstein was intelligence. All this stuff is right in front of us.
The Truth with John Gordon. How do we watch? How do we listen?
Well, all of our episodes are on johngordon.tv. We're on the John Fredericks Radio Network every Saturday from noon to 2. And a replay on Sunday from noon to 2. We're in Nashville, Atlanta, Richmond, Norfolk, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Morgantown, West Virginia. You can listen to the on 22 AM and FM radio stations in those cities, or you can watch our live stream during the same hours on Getter, Rumble, YouTube, X, and Facebook Live.
Well done, John.
What time is it? I think it's martini time.
It is. It is Miller time.
But I haven't had any yet, I promise. Everything I told you, I've read, I've studied, it's in my brain and it's in my heart. And no hyperbole. It is what I honestly believe to be the truth.
John, thank you so much for this. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's it for me. I'll speak with you again real soon. In the meantime, I remain unbowed, unbent, unbroken.